Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing and all those who want to take part in doing His perfect will. The Lord our God is good, and He has many terrific things to say to us. And for this broadcast, the Lord put something unique on my heart concerning wisdom. The Lord wants to give us great wisdom, His wisdom. His perfect wisdom. That's the precept in doing His perfect will. We have to learn how to think and judge like He does. In doing so, we win in life. We go forward. We take what's ours. We receive what's been given. And we stop all satanic attacks and interference. It takes wisdom to do it. And before we receive, before we can use God's wisdom, we have to receive it. And that's the biggest challenge. I'm going to look at James chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. See, this is where the wisdom of God takes us, beyond the rudiments of this world, the temptations and lack of and poverty of this world. Says, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I asked the Lord about the word patience, His definition for it. We have our definition for it, but what the Lord is saying is sometimes greater in His definition. He said, patience is a waiting faith. That's when you're standing in faith. That's patience. It's not just when you're not saying something grievous about something grievous that's going on. You know, to people that looks patient. But patience is when you're standing in faith. You know that you know what God said, and you're standing. You're doing what's necessary towards your faith. All right. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. So God gives us wisdom liberally. That means a heap of it. It's all around us. With the wisdom of God is in His creation, the way He does things. The two trees in the garden tells us a story. It's not just two trees, it's communication. The Lord is showing not only mankind, but the whole universe could see out what Adam chose. Everything God does is recorded. They could see His choice. He was supposed to... Wow, I just saw something. He was supposed to choose the tree of life and reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not an evil tree. It was a good tree with a purpose. Its purpose was to be there so Adam could reject it. And when you... When the things of this world is for you to reject. They are evil because sin is in it. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil itself, it represented sin. So after God told him not to eat off it, if he ate off it anyway, it was sin. But the lies of the serpent is sin. The lies of Satan, they are sin. And they try to get you into sin. Every influence from the devil operates to tug you away from God. They are the first steps in tugging you away from God. Every thought, every lie, they are antichrist. They are antichrist lies. They're designed to tug you away from the heart of God's will. But the wisdom of God helps you build your life, helps you go forward. Verse 6 says, let him, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, there are conditions when we need to know more than we do, and we lack the wisdom of God. Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it should be given him. There are doctrines out there that say, well, God won't, you don't need to ask God questions. You know, that Satan, he flooded the church with doctrines of devils. He gave people to say the wrong thing, give bad advice from the pulpit. But you need to be asking God all of your questions. All of your questions need answers. You need godly answers. The word of God is godly answers. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. When God gave Adam the first five commandments, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. This was in response to something that Adam desired to know. It was like God was answering a concern or a question that Adam had. The way he gave it, the way he answered him, that's why I say that. It didn't say that Adam asked him anything. But the way that God responded with those statements, those commandments, it was as if it was in response to a question that Adam had. And it's like Adam was wanting to know, what do I do with all this love? Because I noticed that God didn't command him to love. And I asked the Lord about this many years ago, about 20 years ago. I said, Lord, you told Adam to do all these things, but you didn't tell him to love. He said, son, all he understood was love. All Adam understood was love. And I've seen Christians do the same thing. They get saved and they love God. They appear in their heart. They got a brand new heart and they want to know what to do with it. And they go to every church service. They learn all they can. They read every chapter. They talk about it. They talk about it with enthusiasm for a long time. Until they get used to religion. Cold religion works to put that fire out. Don't ever let somebody put the fire of your love out. Learn, fan the flames. People want to know, what do I do with this love? I want to do something. I want to preach. And they go and they obediently preach to everybody they know. They tell everybody about Jesus. They do the work of the ministry until they get around Christians that have gotten used to it. And then, you know, the wisdom of God will help us become settled in the word, and we'll be wise, and we won't change our fervency. It's under attack, just like everything of God is. It's all under attack. Satan wants to stop the progress of God in us, and we're just not going to let it happen. We love God, and that's just the way it's going to be. But a double-minded man is unstable. It says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We need to understand that God has great love towards us and he wants to use it on our behalf. That's why he gives us all wisdom liberally. Doubting God's love, that's double-minded. The anti-Christian temptations, they always say, well, you don't want to bother God with that. God is too busy to listen to you. No, he's not. He can listen to billions more. At the same time, not only is he full of love, he's full of wisdom. And he knows what to do. He can talk to all of his people and get us in sync as one body. See, one thing you're going to have to learn about God is he's mighty. He's great. He can do all things in real time, right now. He can organize all of his people. He can give you a part to play and somebody else a part to play. And all those works will link together and do one thing. Bless the body of Christ. See, God got people in other places operating according to his perfect will, just like he's got me operating in his perfect will for me. And then it's ever increasing. As I grow in the Lord receiving his wisdom, I'm able to do everything spot on, everything at the right time, I can fulfill his purposes if I can be obedient and receive his wisdom. See, these are the stumbling blocks to receiving wisdom. You got to overcome the wiles of the devil. They're just lies. That's all they are. Just lies. And you're going to overcome all this foolishness. You can't get more foolish than Satan. But let's look at verse 8. Say, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The double-minded man trusts the lie that God doesn't want to give you wisdom. The double-minded man, he trusts that the wisdom will cause him to receive more responsibilities. The double-minded man looks at he observes the dark side too much. Some people don't want to learn from God because they don't want God to give them an assignment, and they want their lives to be comfortable, like they understand it, and they're refusing to act on the great love in them. But when you follow God, your life is going to get better, and you'll be prepared to say the right thing at the right time to the correct person. If you live by wisdom, you'll be able to live a wise life before all men, and your life will become counsel to them. As you live the wisdom of God, you are the wisdom of God, and your actions are the wisdom of God in the sight of the world. So Satan is afraid of that. And when you listen to his lies, you're believing his lies against God. That's why people are double-minded. That's why they doubt. Their trust in God is shaken. Their faith in God is also shaken. And they don't follow through with what he say do. They listen to opinions over the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. See, the wisdom of God must be received, just like any other part of God's word must be received. If it's not received, then it's not there. If you don't put it in your heart, it's not in your heart. If you lack the wisdom in the first place, it wasn't in your heart yet. There's nothing wrong with you. You love God. You're a new creature. We just don't know everything. We know in part. So the wisdom of God must be received so that we can grow, so that we can do greater works. And then that'll be part of us. We got to receive it. You know, in practical things, there's always a greater way of doing things. And I know how people are. A lot of times, when I make something at work, I have an idea and I want to build it to help everybody out. Other mechanics will say, "What are you building?" If I tell them, I'm going to have to listen to their advice and why it won't work, because they don't see what I see. I go through this every time I build something. The Lord gave me a gift. I can put things together in my mind and then I can build it. And I know I'm going to have to go through all this drama if I tell them what I'm building. So I prepare the metal, I work, and keep my mouth shut. And then when they ask about it, I say, "I'll show you." And then when they go on break or go on to lunch, I'll go ahead and put it together and weld it or whatever I got to do. Then the next thing you know, I'll assemble it and it's working. And one brother said, "Why didn't you tell somebody what you was doing? So we could have told you not to do that. That ain't going to work. That thing worked perfect." But when you're putting it together, you don't see the finished product yet. He didn't see what was in my mind. And it works perfect. I go through this all the time. And so do factories. Now, I was saying in the broadcast how most of the patents is on the automobile. That may still be true. It may be in the computer world now. But there was a time most patents in America was on the automobile, cars and trucks. And people over time had ideas to help the car do better. And the cars they make today are much better than the cars they used to make. You can survive a crash in cars made today when people would lose family members back in the 70s. I remember going to Utah with my dad. That was a bad wreck, and the whole family got killed in the car. They had a head-on collision. And it had just happened, and the police got there. They didn't let anybody see the people, but they were all dead in the car. Because those cars they had no crumples on. They had no airbags. Most time the survivor would be the driver, because the steering wheel, they did make the steering wheel where it would collapse a little bit and it would absorb impact. But somebody, now I don't know this for a fact, but somebody decided, they said, well, let's make the whole front end of the car crush so that the people will survive. The car won't be any good anymore. It only works once. Unless you can put it back together with new parts. But the front end of the car would crush and absorb the impact so the people in the cab could live. And their chances are higher if they wear their seatbelts. So it became a law over time. There was no seatbelt law back then. Not in the 70s. And I'm sure that the people that own the company, that's not a good idea. They didn't see it yet. But they have a place where they test cars. And somebody had this idea. Because it makes so much sense, somebody had this idea. But I bet, just like always, somebody in charge will say, "No, that's not a good idea. We don't need to do that." They didn't see it work like that before. But they kept on, and somebody got in charge and they said, "Let's do it." And now it's a standard on all the cars. Everybody has every car made now from around mid-90s and up will crush in the front. I remember seeing commercials about cars having crumple zones in the mid-90s. So if your car is made after the mid-90s, it has a crumple zone to absorb impact. It's made to crush. But I bet that whoever had that idea got shot down 50 times before they actually did it. Wisdom has to be received. Wisdom has to be received before it can help anybody. And if you don't live the wisdom before people, they can't see the counsel of it. They don't see the final product. It's just like when I'm welding something together. What are you making? I'll tell you when I'm done. I know the rigmarole. I know the rhetoric I'm gonna go through every time. It always happens. If it's something simple, I might tell them. But after I finish, it's working. And then they use it. They always use it. People can't always see what's wise, but when God reveals it, you have to receive it. If you don't receive it, you're not going to know the good of it. You'll live from in whatever glory you're living in now. That's where you'll stay until you receive that wisdom. people marry the wrong people because they don't receive the wisdom of God. They're looking at the person, how beautiful they are, how they make them feel. But only God can tell you the truth about people. And if you marry somebody and God told you, gave you wisdom about them, that's true. That's how your marriage is going to be. You know, a woman looks at a guy, the Lord say he's unstable. He don't look unstable. He's got a stable job. Now, that's in her mind, that's the devil telling me he's unstable. But when she marries, she going to find out. And when she marry him, that means that she's out of the loop to marry the person that God would have commended. Somebody that really loves her and is stable. Same thing with men. They look at the woman, how beautiful she is. And the Lord will show him what to do. He'll give him wisdom about her. God don't lie on people. People set their heart the way they want to. And they don't always receive wisdom to change. Well, they'll change. That don't mean they'll change just because you wish they would. People, grown people change if they want to change. If you don't believe me, read the book of Jeremiah. Around chapter 41 or 2, the people came to Jeremiah asking him for his wisdom to go to God on their behalf. We're going to do whatever he say. 10 days later, Jeremiah said, he gave them the wisdom. He said, you dissembled in your heart when you came to me in the first place. They had no intention of doing the wisdom of God. They wanted Jeremiah to give them something that they would do, not the commandment of God. And the things God said to do, they wouldn't even have to leave Israel. They would have been able to stay in the land. And they went to Egypt and got killed. And some of them went to Babylonian prisons. None of them went back to Israel. Hard-headed, stiff-necked people. You have to receive the wisdom of God. So people don't always change like you wish they would. Yeah, but if I tell them the word, they'll see it like I do and guess, no, they won't. Not all the time. Only if God show you they will. He know what people are going to do. We preach the gospel so that they can either receive or reject it. We don't just preach the gospel so people will go to heaven. We preach the gospel so people can, that's their fair chance. The Lord taught me that. He said, everybody won't get saved, but preach the gospel. That gives them a chance to choose or reject it. Let God know where they stand. Even if you love them, they have the right to choose or reject it. They don't have to get saved. I don't like the fact that people reject it, but sometimes people reject it. All right, Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Oh, see, these are good things. To give some subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, so he don't go out there and do something that wastes his time and wastes his life on foolishness. He said, now here's the difference. Verse 5 is the difference. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And that's where we got to be. Because God is about to relay great wisdom to give us. He's going to give us the wisdom we've been desiring to win souls. But we got to receive this wisdom. We're going to have to act on what the Holy Spirit gives us to do. We're not going to have a long time to decide to do it. We're going to have to act on what he gives us to do now in real time. Because this is a quick work. The Lord, when I woke up early in the morning, about 2.5 weeks ago, the Lord said, my return is imminent. Tell my people to be ready that they be not left here. He doesn't want you left here. His return is imminent. It's time for Jesus to come back and rapture his church. It's time for Jesus to come back and rapture his people off the earth. And people who are playing with the world, he's going to leave them here. People doing the no-nos of Galatians chapter 5, they're going to be left here. He said adulterers, fornicators, all these. He gave a list of people that will not enter the kingdom of God. And there are Christians who have lost their way and they playing with the world. He's going to leave them here. And if you have a hard time believing it, go to YouTube. Put in YouTube, the Ugandan pastor, and you'll see the video to come up and listen to the whole thing. That's God giving us a warning. There are so many people that's playing with the world in their heart. God looks at the heart. There are people that make the wrong judgment in their heart, and they will be left here. But this wisdom that God is going to give is going to help people live. He said, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of words of the wise and their dark sayings. And the reason that sayings is darkness is because that knowledge is not in them yet. The word of God is still in mystery form to that person in that area of life. And God doesn't want us to have mystery areas. He wants us to know him in every area of life. And that takes time. So to speed things along, we're just going to have to receive the wisdom of God and act on it. We're going to have to rush and do it. We're going to have to yield our heart to the counsel of God. Jesus said, if your eyes be single, your whole body will be full of light. It's easy to receive the wisdom and correction of the Holy Spirit when you're in love with him, when you love man and when you love God. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. When you fear God, some things you're just not going to do. When I fear God when I read the Sermon on the Mount, so I put some things, I kicked it out of my life. I kicked an angry attitude out of my life. I kicked lust out of my life. Because I wanted God. I didn't want to lust after women and lose my soul. And then I found out why. Jesus, it's a rogue path. Lust has no satisfaction in it. It destroys everything in its path and leaves corruption in its wake. It's the opposite of love. It's the opposite of what God intended. But it looks good. And a lot of men fall because of it. We got to kick it out of our heart. And God's wisdom will help us do it. We need not just wisdom to get rid of things. We need the wisdom of God to do his work. And God wants to give us all the wisdom we need to get the job done. So we can bring people to heaven with us. He did say that the fields are white, but the laborers are few. And the only way God can get laborers is to get wisdom in their heart. His wisdom. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The love of sin causes people to despise the living wisdom of God. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. When the devil speaks, don't listen. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, as those that go down to the pit. This is serpent speech. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in that lot among us. Let us have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Birds have more sense than to fall for a trap that they see being built. And they lay in wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which takes away life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. So God wants us to have his knowledge and wisdom. And he gives it to us liberally, that we may stand and not fall. And that the works of God may be done in us and not lost. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to move in your life. Bless you in every way there is. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. Jesus truly is our Lord.